Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Chag Sameach and Shana Tova. It's great to start off the new year with this podcast from Rabbi Daniel Landes. Rabbi Meir Schweiger looks forward to resuming his podcast as soon as he's able. Rabbi Daniel Landes is a director and Rosh HaYeshiva for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you very much, Larry. Today, prior to Yom HaKippurim, I would like to share with you and study with you a section of the work of Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cook, the great Jewish mystic, Jewish legal thinker, and first rabbi of the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. He became chief rabbi under the British mandate, and he died in 1935. Rav Cook was a world figure with a large soul, at the same time a Jew who looked very, very traditional and was traditional in his own life. He was a man who tried to combine some opposites. And here that is the authentic Jewish position of study of Torah, of a pious life, and at the same time, as I indicated, a world soul. And he would approach concepts and institutions within Judaism with that idea of understanding their specific meaning and their broader meaning. He wrote a book on tshuva, tshuva's repentance, the week between Rosh Hashanah, including Rosh Hashanah, through Yom Kippurim, those 10 days, are called the 10 days of tshuva, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. In English, we say often penitence. Tshuva means return. And he became the great philosopher, poet, and articulator of the concept of return. The book that he wrote, Orota Tshuva, The Lights of Tshuva, or The Lights of Return, is a book written some close to 100 years ago, was by Rabbi Cook, but it was edited by his son Tzvi Yehuda, who later on took over for his father at the heading of the yeshiva. And Rav Cook, in writing this book, was trying to create something new. He didn't write a halachic work, a legal code, as Maimonides did on his Hilchot Tshuva, Laws of Tshuva, which are an integral part of his great work, the Mishnah Torah. Nor was this a book of exhortation, nor was this a pure book of mysticism. This is actually a literary work. He took on purpose the models of belles lettres, of essays, of using the novelistic devices and poetic devices, exploratory models, to really understand the experience of tshuva. What is tshuva about? What does tshuva mean? And not to do so on a sermonic or moralistic basis, but from a very human and practical and idealistic method. I've spoken about this. This book has become a classic within the Jewish community, and has been translated into English, several different translations, and has entered world literature. We're going to take a section, one paragraph from chapter 4 of this work, and a certain section, section 3. What I'd like to do is read to you, and you'll have available a copy of this on our website. I would like to read a part in Hebrew, use the English translation that you have there, and discuss this with you. Discuss it in a sense line by line, and then draw some conclusions. So let's commence. Rabbi Cook writes, and I read first in Hebrew, Hatshuvah HaKlalit Shehi Ilui Ha'olam V'tikuno V'hatshuvah HaPratit Hanogat Le'ishiyut HaPratit Shekal Echad V'Echad Ad kedei dakut ha-pratim shel tikunei ha-tshuva ha-miuchadim, sheruach ha-kodesh yodea lefartam, la-pratim ha-yoter bodedim, hein biyachad tochen achad. This is a mouthful, and in English it is. But don't be dismayed and don't be scared. General repentance. So let's translate that as general tshuva. We'll use the Hebrew when it makes sense. General tshuva, which is the ascent of the world and its rectification. In Hebrew, rectification is tikkun, which is a popular theological term today, and its repair, its fixing up, its rectification. So I repeat again, general tshuva, which is the ascent of the world, and its rectification, its tikkun, and particular tshuva, which is related to the specific personality of each individual, even to the extent of the most delicate details of the specific means of tikkun for that individual, so as to achieve tshuva for that individual, means which the sacred spirit can particularize to their most isolated details, they together, these two forms of tshuva, form one content. Let's try to unpack this sentence, and let's just note that at the very beginning, he says there's really two manifestations of tshuva. Tshuva klalit, general tshuva, or universal tshuva. And then there is tshuva hapratit, particular or individualized tshuva. Let's see what we can get as a beginning definition of each. He offers it here in that sentence, in the first sentence. So general tshuva, tshuva klalit, universal tshuva, which is the ascent of the world. We could actually translate it here even better, which is the raising of the world. To do universal general tshuva is to raise the world, Igluy ha'olam, and to fix it and its rectification, and to fix it. So universal tshuva responds to this wide notion of having a vision of how the world can be on a higher level. And not just a vision, but being, adding, as he would say in other places, mosif or, to add light, to add proper activity, to bring the world to a higher level. By world here, he refers to human society. And to fix it. And tikkun has this wonderful different shades of meaning. It's to fix it for whatever has happened to it, if it's had some disrepair. Tikkun also refers to healing. Tikkun also means to rectify, to correct. In other words, to put in that part which is missing. And that's what universal tshuva attempts to do. Now let's go and see what particular tshuva. And at this point, what we're trying to do is get an idea of what each one is, and then we compare how they respond to each other. Tshuva pratit comes from the word prat, tshuva for the individual. This is a tshuva which is related, as he, as the translation here says, to the specific personality, or we could translate it relates to the specific aspect of humanity of each individual. In other words, a particular tshuva tries to go in depth to the individual and to really understand what that individual means, even to the extent of the most delicate details of what? The details of specific means for that individual's tikkun, so that person can achieve tshuva. If a person is out of whack physically, there's much that needs to be done. They need to exercise. They need to change their diets. They need to stop doing harmful activities. They have to do positive activities of what, how to eat and how to act and how to exercise. And then they have to also make sure that they don't do that which is wrong. And it's a full system. And it takes a lot of effort on the physical level just to see how a person could be changed. So here when we speak of particular tshuva, which often refers to the person's moral and spiritual condition, it means that you need to look into the most delicate details or the most nuanced details of how that individual can really change herself or change himself so they can achieve tshuva. These means of achieving tshuva sometimes needs, Rabbi Cook says, an infusion of inspiration. Here he refers to it as Ruach HaKodesh, a sacred spirit, a sense of exploration, a sense of exploration which is helped almost from the divine, can particularize to their most isolated details, must go to the very specific forms. Tshuva for the individual is not one size fits all. It's not one recommendation which is good for everyone. For the individual, when they want to change and they want to return and they want to come back to a vision of health, especially spiritual health and especially moral health, each person has to find out what they themselves lack, and each one has to work on what are the means and what are the ways and what are the exercises, the spiritual exercises, and what are the proper activities they can do to change their own life. And this is very detailed, and it's very nuanced, and as we become, as I gave the example before from our physical life, and indeed Rabbi Cook says it's not just a metaphor, our physical condition often affects our spiritual and our moral condition. We need to have a real close look and a close discipline in order to change. So you have two different types of tshuva that are mentioned here. We have this universal tshuva, which is repairing the world. And we have a type of tshuva and repair the world through raising the world, trying to find ways of improvement, and at the same time to fix that which is broken. And then we have tshuva on its most particular aspect for the individual, which seems to be very obsessive, very detailed, very individualized. Very different type of ways of being. How can we ever say, as Rabbi Cook talks about the two of them, they seem to be just totally different manifestations of being. They seem to represent two different types of ethos. In a different article by Rabbi Cook, which he talks about the difference of the, it's called in Hebrew, Hanavi v'Chacham, or Chacham Adif Menavi, referring to a statement in the Talmud that the scholar is sometimes preferred to even the prophets. He says actually prophecy and the scholarship of the rabbis are two different ways of looking and acting in the world. The prophet looks at the whole. The prophet looks at the universal. He's got the big picture. The prophet deals in generalities in the best sense of the term. The prophet criticizes on the highest levels and then tries to paint a picture of a beautiful future and what can be done in the largest sense in order to raise oneself and to raise the world. While the chacham, the scholar, and here he's referring to the rabbinic scholar and the halachic scholar, is one who deals really with aspects of behavior, atomized aspects of behavior, detailed aspects of behavior, specific aspects of behavior. And in that article, which is kind of reflected here, these are just two different ways of looking. The other way of looking at this in opposition is that universal tshuva or general tshuva seems to really refer to the world as a whole. It doesn't really see the boundaries between ethnic groups or doesn't see the boundaries between religious groups. Universal tshuva here, which is a movement towards fixing the world, seems to be something which is shared by all, while the particular tshuva is so individualized, it's almost not even the property of a group, it's the property of individuals. And it's the property of their specific needs. And if it's related to the group, then the specific needs of a specific group. Rav Kook says something very unusual about these two different forms and these two different methods. And before I say what he says, I just need to mention that I was on an airplane flight from Tel Aviv to New York a few days ago. And on the flight, I overheard, as I often do, conversations. There was this group of Hasidim, of pietists, evidently wonderful people. And much of their private conversation, and I did not mean to overhear, but in overhearing it, I was greatly moved, talked about what could be done during the stay to improve their prayer life and their life of their individual moral behavior. People shared with each other. The conversation was in Yiddish, and the conversation was certainly within the vein of halachic discussion. And you see people working on themselves and sharing with each other so that they can work on themselves of how to improve themselves. At the same time, there was a group, a different part of the airplane, who were speaking the entire night. They're forming a settlement, a new community in the Negev. They have plans for that, which they wish to create an ecological consciousness and make sure that everything was grown in a certain way, that the living and the morality of living together should be on a quite high level. These are secularists. It should be a universal community that brings in all sorts of different types of people and how they can respond to their to their neighbors, to Jordan. And here you had both conversations going on. Very different type of people, different in their dress. They weren't even eating the same food on the airplane. They each had the different food that they were eating. Some speaking in Yiddish, others speaking in Hebrew with some French and some English. And according to Rav Kook, both conversations, the universal tshuva of how to repair the world as a whole, and the conversation of this obsessive desired to change oneself on the most particular details. These two forms of conversations are both forms of tshuva, of repair, of fixing, of healing, and they together form one content. What Rav Kook was looking for was a unified field theory. Both contents are one content. Both are aspects of tshuva, of return to a state of being that we only have in our imagination, a more perfected way of being, a more perfected life. He wanted a unified field theory, moral field theory, between the pietist and the revolutionary, between the ecologically conscious and the spiritually sensitive. Between the power of the specific forms of religious observance, along with the almost secular mystical concept of how the world can be brought to a higher level. And given that, let's see how he continues to describe this form of tshuva and this form of a unified field theory. V'chein kol otam tikunei ha-tarbut, sh'al yadam ha'olam yosei mechurbano, sidrei ha-chayim ha-chavratiyim v'ha-kalkaliyim, ha-olchim u-mish-tach l'olim, im tikunei kol chet v'avon mechamurim sh'bechamurim, ad dikduke sofrim u-midot chasidut ha-yoter mufolgot. And let me just, in mid-sentence, because it's a mouthful, translate. Similarly, all those tikkunim, all these rectifications of culture, by means of which the world emerges from its state of churban, its state of ruin, as well as social and economic life orders, which advance towards perfection, they, along with the tikkun of all sin and iniquity, the traditional forms of tikkun, from those most severe to minor prohibitions of the scribes, from those that refer to prohibitions we find in the Torah, to prohibitions that seem to be part of custom, and the most minute ethically pious observances. For Rav Kook, he is not privileging one group against the other. He is saying they are all part of one unity, and not only are they part of the same spectrum, they're needed from both sides. Kulam hem chativa achat, ve'inam menutakim zemizeh. All of these constitute one distinct form and cannot and should not be torn asunder from each other. For Rav Kook, this is not just a matter of tolerance, not just a matter of Jews of different types and stripes respecting each other and getting along. He believed that both sides needed each other. He believed that the religious side, the spiritual side, needed the sweep and the revolutionary aspect of social and economic change, which would provide a better life for the widest possible group. At the same time, he believed those who had these great visions of change would never fully be able to realize it without the inward and outward behavior that is described in the halakha and the way of walking, the Jewish way of life, which is not only described and not only mandated, but it finds its fulfillment in many different ways of behavior. These two aspects can fuse, can fructify, can lead towards a full sense of change, of return, of rectification, of tikkun. Together, they are one, they come from one cloth. If they are torn asunder from each other, both sides suffer. And in quoting the Zohar, he says, V'chulon l'chad atar slikin. All of them ascend to one realm. Jewish notion of transcendence is a notion of a behaviors and of change which reflects the body politic, and if we can say, the soul of the body politic, which responds to the individual qua individual, but the individual is part of a larger group. It refers very specifically to the individual Jew and her duties and his duties, as a Jew within their community, and also the Jew as part and a contributor to the world and to the world in its progress. As we end this study, I just need to reflect that I find this this desire, while sometimes not fully articulated, and certainly not always articulated as poetically as Rav Kook, but I find nonetheless this desire within my students at Pardes, who desire this unified field theory of the highest and the greatest form of ethical behavior, of spiritual sensitivity, and that which benefits the community, the family, the community, the individual, the family, the community, the nation, and humanity as a whole. And Yom Kippur, which we say on the night, a Kol Nidre night, that everyone in the world passes before God as the sheep pass one by one before the shepherd, we can say that vision is a vision that is part of our tradition in its most wonderful and evocative manifestations, both liturgical and that of study, and remains a vision which is really the purpose of Judaism, and is a reflection of that which we try to do within our institution, within Pardes. wish you all a good new year. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your emails to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.